It's Movember. We're thinking about men and men's health, something that's great to do all year long. And then especially create awareness about it during the month of Movember. We are joined by Dr. Jesse Mills. He specializes in men's health, urology. His practice is on the UCLA campus. And then you're also an associate clinical professor of urology, right, doctor?
That's correct. Thank you so much for having me in this legendary studio surrounded by turntables and soundboards. It's great. I'm ready to rock and roll this morning and talk about men's health.
You're a classic rock fan, too.
Born and bred, absolutely.
But you're also very busy because you're a surgeon, right?
You
work in surgery. You work with men on a regular basis, and you also are teaching.
That's right. I mean, my entire practice is dedicated to making men's health and making it better, certainly with a specific focus in the field of urology, which is what my training is in, and that encompasses everything from male prostate health to my specialty, which is male sexual health and infertility. And the great thing about being a surgeon is that I get to listen to rock and roll in the operating room as well. So it helps me relax and helps me operate better. So it's a great field to be in if you're a music lover.
Mm-hmm. Who do you have in your earbuds then? Who do you have or playing?
I will tell you a little secret about how I operate. Uh-huh. So I operate not with a radio on, sadly to say, for your sake here, but I operate with a playlist, and it's a random playlist of 4,000 songs, and I have something called the Rule of Zeppelin. And the Rule of Zeppelin states that when you're in the operating room and you may be in an area where it's getting tricky or dicey or things are not going exactly the way you want, you just wait a little bit, you take a couple of deep breaths, and then all of a sudden something will kick in and you'll start hearing Zeppelin. Maybe it's Moby Dick and you hear the drum solo, and something just motivates me to do that much better and know that as long as the Rule of Zeppelin is in play, everything's going to turn out great in that case.
I love it. So, yeah, that's your inspiration then keep going when you get into a situation where you need that extra push.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I will say that as I teach medical students and residents and they're intimidated and scared, it might be their first time in the operating room, and I ask them the most important thing they're ever going to learn in medical school, and ask them who is the greatest rock band of all time. And it's amazing how few of them say Led Zeppelin. So I've got a lot of work to do, but that's my goal. But right, the playlist goes from Zeppelin to Steely Dan to rest in peace Tom Petty.
Tough loss. Many losses in music. Music legends did not expect Tom Petty to be one of them at all.
Right.
And it was just seemed like something that just happened, which can, and especially if you don't know what's going on with your own body. One of the things that you talk about a lot is getting men to be proactive, active in their own health care and how we can help them do that.
Right. Well, men's health is... it's kind of a funny thing, because if you just think about the fact that healthcare should be accessible to everybody, and it is, thankfully, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the guy is going to seek access. And so the whole reason we have this specialty evolving is because, in general, men are not great at seeking healthcare. And the other problem is that this system is really set up, not for any fault of its own, to not see men in the doctor's office from about the age of 18 to about the age of 50. So if you look for a second at how women indoctrinate themselves into the healthcare system, they have all their pediatric visits, and then when they're 18, they start getting their annual exams. And so the annual exam is not just a pap smear, but it's an interview where they're getting their blood pressure taken and they're getting a history from either their gynecologist or their primary physician. So if you look at women's health for a second and in contrast to men's health. Women are indoctrinated into the healthcare system at a much earlier age. So boys and girls, we all go to the pediatrician, and then once we hit 18, men don't see a doctor again until 50. Mm-hmm. Women, every year at 18 on, they're getting their annual exam, which is a lot more than just a pap smear, but it's an interview with their healthcare provider where he or she can identify maybe a little bit of weight gain, which is not healthy, maybe an increase in their blood pressure, which is also not healthy, or maybe they picked up cigarette smoking or any one of the lifestyle factors that can affect women's health. They're going to get that interview every year when they get their annual exam. Well, guys, once we get our last hernia check in high school physicals, we don't see a physician again necessarily until we're 50 years old. And so during that time frame, that's 30 years plus, where a guy could be developing high blood pressure and not knowing it. He could be developing, well, he should be knowing if he's developing obesity, but he may not have any tools and understanding of nutrition and fitness and what he can do to make that better. Or his cholesterol could be going up and his coronary arteries could be getting plaques. And that's when you start to see heart disease really kick in the male population is in their 50s. But the predecessor to heart disease happens in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. And we may not know that if we're not going to see our physician on a regular basis. So So the goal for men is in my goal, because I'm a urologist, so I'm a surgeon that specializes in my case in microsurgery and infertility. But my dog in this hunt is that I get to see guys earlier, because fertility problems are going to strike men when they're younger. So I see them in their 20s and 30s. And a lot of fertility issues are lifestyle based. Not every man I see needs me to operate on them to make them a dad. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that guys love to come into the physician for is sexual dysfunction, and that is mainly what I do surgically too. So if I see a man in his 20s or 30s, or especially in his 40s, developing early onset erectile dysfunction, I have a very high suspicion that he may start getting heart disease in his 50s and 60s. And so I get to be the intervener.
And then you encourage them to get regular checkups, regular visits. There are things like, you know, checking your prostate, checking your colon, things that men should do, you know, other types of regular visits.
So it's a great point, Tina. And we do have guidelines, especially the American Urologic Association, which was my main professional organization, where what guys should be doing in their teens, their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. And essentially, after that last pediatrician visit, when a guy is 18, he should at least be doing monthly self-testicular exams. So to learn how to do that at an early age is very important. And that's, again, an annual visit for at least a blood pressure screening and a body mass index check, or at least a simple weight check plus a testicular exam. That's all you really have to do in your 20s. But again, if you identify a man in his 20s that is having problems with blood pressure or weight gain, or starting to see problems with his cholesterol, his LDL levels are going up, those are all things that we can identify at that early age. By the time they hit their 30s, pretty much the same thing: blood pressure, weight, lifestyle habits. The other thing, of course, that really plagues men is stupid behavior. So men in their 20s and our 30s, at some point, probably for me, it was in my early 40s, I realized that I wasn't going to live forever and I'm not invincible. But unfortunately, men in our 18 and our 20s, 30s, maybe we don't wear seatbelts as much. We don't wear helmets when we bicycle. Certainly in states where they don't have helmet laws for motorcycles, those are all the things that kill men early. And then we have the entire problem with psychological and psychiatric health. And guys are not great about seeking mental health, so we have a much higher suicide rate when women, and we're actually much better at killing ourselves. Suicide attempts versus suicide successes is almost 3-to-1 higher in men versus women. So these are all things that we might be able to identify early if men are coming in and getting some basic screening at those early ages.
And at the men's clinic at UCLA, you have comprehensive services there and referrals. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, talk about the men's clinic?
Yeah.
Because there's a wide range of ways that, you know, men can get help there.
Right. Well, the men's clinic, it's my passion. I mean,
yeah,
this is what I came to UCLA to do a couple of years ago, which is to bring together all of the great academic minds that makes UCLA a world-class institution and say, hey, we can have an opportunity here to intervene at all levels, especially in a town like Los Angeles, where we have income disparity from the wealthiest to the poorest of neighborhoods and zip codes, and try to figure out a comprehensive way of making sure that the men of Los Angeles, and really nationally, internationally as well, are getting some sort of cohesive care. And so their gateway to that is me in the men's clinic. And I love it. It's we're like a band at the men's clinic, right? We have a front office, we have a back office, we have me, and we have other providers that are able to all work together and harmoniously, so that when a man walks in, he's already in a very non-judgmental place where they have our receptionists are well trained to deal with men's health and be discreet about why they're there. Because, you know, to be honest, most of the guys that are seeing me have pretty intimate issues. But when I identify something that is non-urologic, that's when the beauty of the men's clinic really starts to unfold. Then I can say, I pick up my phone and call one of our cardiologists, or I call one of our psychiatrists or our addiction specialist, or any of the amazing resources that we have at UCLA, to make sure that that guy is getting the comprehensive care he needs so that he can make better decisions and get either the medical or surgical care that's going to make him live a great, long, healthy life. We get to identify problems before they happen.
The clinic, you know, the urology department that you work with is ranked one of the best in the nation, right? It's number 4.
Not bad, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
We do very well. The beauty of the urology clinic itself is that we are all professors of urology, and we all specialize in some other aspect of urology, which then transfers into multiple disciplines. And so again, if you go to UCLA Urology and you have a prostate issue and you also bring up that you're having problems sexually, then our oncology physicians are not only going to work with the oncology department, medical oncology, to make sure that their prostate cancer is treated. They're going to come to see me and get a comprehensive sexual health evaluation to make sure these men are getting care, not from just one provider, but from an expert, really a world-class expert in every discipline they need. Mm-hmm. So it's a great center. We are growing rapidly, and both geographically, we're going up into the valley, down into the South Bay, out into the West Valley, but also from a faculty standpoint, we're bringing on some of the top physicians in urologic stones, for example. So guys, anybody that's ever had a kidney stone will tell you it's probably the most pain they've ever had. And so to be able to come in and see a world-class expert in endourology and get that stone treated is one of the great strengths of our department.
So many experts connected, yes. Going into November, you grow a mustache. And
starting
you,
to like it. Yeah. Mustache is starting to come in. That's right.
Yeah, you have a couple of videos out there about Movember and you know, how you help create awareness.
All right. Well, Movember is this, it's this amazing thing that it started years ago, over 10 years ago, in a bar in Australia where a couple of guys were sitting around figuring out how they could do something to make lives better, and especially in men's health. And they couldn't figure out anything that they were good at until they said, well, we grow facial hair pretty well. And then it all burgeoned into, well, not a lot of people are wearing mustaches, so maybe we start wearing a mustache and we become a walking billboard for men's health. So that's where this started, and now Movember's turned into this worldwide movement where millions and millions of dollars are raised for both or for all aspects of men's health. It's not just urologic health and prostate health, but again, it's psychiatric health, suicide prevention, cardiovascular health, and all of these things come back to the easy thing that on October 31st, that'll be the last day that men shave. And then as our facial hair grows in, there's websites that we, UCLA Urology and Oncology, we have a website set up for donations for who's got the best mo. And it's great. It's really fun because men will come in and say, you know, I saw you 2 months ago and you didn't have a mustache. Mm-hmm. Why are you wearing a mustache, Mills? And I get to tell them it's for you. I'm wearing this because I need to raise awareness.
Thank you, Dr. Mills. And you can see Dr. Mills online, many videos. You can visit the UCLA Men's Health Clinic.
We're starting to do more community events where you may see some plugs for men's health and come by and talk and figure out what it's all about. I appreciate the time to talk to you and make sure you're getting the health care you deserve.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Mills, and for bringing Led Zeppelin, you know, into your world.
There you go.